Good morning, everyone. Time now for the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news, at which point your calls are certainly welcome. We'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. The number to call, if you want to jot that down now, is 541-472-1270. 541-472-1270. That will get you through, and we'll take roll call this morning with our guest. Let's see. Calling for roll for, let's see, Vice Commissioner Chris Barnett.
Yeah, the vice chair is here. I'm here. You got me, Chuck. You got me.
You drew the short straw.
I did. I did. I said the others had obligations, and of course, I try to make every public thing I can. And one of them is dear to my heart, and that's radio. So I get to see you. So how about that? Do you feel honored or what? I get to see you, Chuck.
Well, you should feel honored.
I feel honored to see you. Yes. and to be here and see all my friends.
It goes two ways.
Yeah, it does. It does. I mean, when you work in this building for a long time, you know, it just becomes a nature of habit. I knew where the coffee was and you let me get a cup. So thank you, Chuck. I know how to make it too, you know.
And the taste hasn't changed either, has it?
No, it's the strong stuff. We always call it the sale sludge. You know, it's a really good stout coffee. So I love it.
For those who get up here early, they need that little kick.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And that's what we normally do is you get here early in the morning and the first one here makes the coffee. And then that kind of sets the stage for everybody else.
All right. Well, let's get down to business here.
Yeah. All right.
First of all, as a commissioner, what are you and your other commissioners absent today from this particular situation? Are they available? Can we share what's going on?
Oh, they got prior commitments. So their schedule is different from mine. So we all kind of individually have our own schedules with constituents, matters within the county. So, you know, learning this role has been really interesting because there's three of us elected. And, well, one appointed and two elected right now. And what you get is fields of calls and emails and just people walking into your office. And you just kind of go, okay, let me fit you in. And I love that part because every day is different. You never know what matters you're going to deal with that day. Like yesterday, I was on the phone and dealing with solid waste issues and dealing with, you know, people putting trash out and code violators out in the county, which I directed them to code enforcement and solid waste. So you kind of handle things. And a lot of calls that I get to seems to be with city issues. The good news is that even though we're county, the city is within the county. And what I always do is instead of just blowing them off and not returning their call, I call them back and or email them back and I tell them, hey, let's put you in the right, point you in the right direction. That is a city issue. And I'll put you in touch with such and such. And they appreciate the direction of just being able to go somewhere to get some help. And that makes you feel good, even though you have nothing to do with that department.
What's the relationship now between the county and the city in terms of the council and the commission?
Yeah, great. It is better than ever. And When I was campaigning out there, I said, we have to have a better bridge between our cities and our county officials. And,
has there been times when it's been contentious?
It has. And I was hearing this before I even ran for office. So it was like, how come they don't talk? How come the agencies just don't talk, the departments? And we're building that bridge now. The mayor, I just met with him, last week. City councilors come in. They meet with me as well. I attend their meetings and follow them what's going on. We're trying to build up. They're relatively new, too. They're only into this 60-plus days as well. So we're all trying to figure out, hey, with everything else going on, how do we all come together to meet? So we're trying to work on something where we can meet on a regular basis, maybe once per quarter or once every 6 months, just to have that collaboration between the city and the counties.
What shared issues are there between the county and the city that you might be working on together?
Well, the homeless issue. That was one that we're working on, trying to find out a solution. It's a city problem, okay, of Grants Pass. It is mainly a city problem. It is not much of a county problem, although you will see some campers out in some of the rural areas, and we got BLM and we got the forest rangers on those issues. But main issue seems to be the city of Grants Pass. I know the mayor, Jesse Dugas, out of Cape Junction, building a great relationship with him as well. He's got some homeless issues out in his city as well. But Grants Pass seems to be the big one, and we're trying to work on I know the mayor has an idea with the counselors of a property that may work to try to help ease the situation because, you know, the city got sued again. And it was like, just when you thought it was all over, the city's back in this situation of being sued and limited on what they can and cannot do. And it's just, it's very frustrating for the city officials. Because
is there a possibility that a campground could be established outside the city limits within the county confines?
And that's what the discussions have been talked about. Can that be done where it's relatively close to city services and getting the needs? And looking at some of these nonprofits or some great nonprofits, I'm not going to disclose those particular ones at this time because I don't know much about the ones they're working with. But I know that if we can get some of the nonprofits, take it off the city government altogether, take it off the government altogether. It's not a government problem. It's a social issue problem. And if we can get some nonprofits and good organizations to step up and take care of this, that may solve our issue and let them handle it.
What kind of outreach has been established so far or has been attempted so far between the commission, the council, and those nonprofits you're talking about?
Well, we're trying to communicate. And that's the first step is where I'm attending all these invitations that I get to all these things. Clubs I've never even heard of or organizations I've never heard of. And one of them just recently was U-Turn for Christ was one of them. And I went to their event. They had at Calvary Church. And I just listened to them. And I said, this one's new to me. I go, U-Turn for Christ. I go, there's so many that want to help. And they all have a good heart. It's just what is going to be the initial outcome. The rehabilitation thing, Chuck, honestly, instead of giving handouts, I believe in a hand up. I really do. I've been on my campaign saying that, saying, hey, look, I care for these people, but how can we help you? But you got to be able to help yourself. And it's an addiction problem. I mean, I'm at the courthouse and we have that campground right there on 6th and A right there. And ever since that campground got put back up, feces around the courthouse, picking up trash around the courthouse. There's people out of their mind in the middle of the yard. It's just, I see the problems that are going on. And I saw one gentleman just last week. He just pulled down his pants and started urinating on the front yard. I mean, all the windows, all the courts could see it. I mean, everybody could see. And I ran down and I said, sir, I said, you can't urinate in public like that. It's a ticket. And not only that, there's young people, you know, there's people. You're right in the middle of the day, 1 o'clock. And he just looked at me and stared and goes, oh. And I'm like, are you on something right now? Because, you know, do you need some help? No. I just want some food. And I'm like, well, let's try to get you some food. Is that what you need? You know? So the thing is rehabilitation. And if it wasn't for me, this guy was going to get hit by a car. He started walking across the street. I said, sir, nope, get back on the sidewalk. You're going to get hit. So I care about these individuals hurting themselves, but these drugs and substances that they are hooked on are killing them. Okay. They're hurting them. And, society, we as a society want to help, but they need that rehabilitation and it's drug addiction, Chuck. It is so bad. It is, we're on national news, Dr. Phil show. You've seen it all. Park Watch. I don't know if you know about the group Park Watch, but they go around.
We're familiar with them.
Are you familiar with them? All right. So yes. There's some people that love them and some people that have a problem with them. And I said, well, why do you have a problem with them? And they just feel it's mainly the homeless individuals think that they're invading their turf, you know, picking up the trash and maybe they don't like them invading their territory in the parks. And I've been out with Park Watch.
Wait a minute. Are we confused about whose territory it is?
So the Park Watch people are just trying to clean up their parks.
Correct.
Okay. They're taxpayers and they're cleaning up their parks. But the individuals camping there, not from here. But they say it's their park and they have a right to be there. And, so all
you
these
just
guys,
said they're not from here. All right.
A lot of them aren't.
All right. I've heard that, but I've never seen any concrete evidence.
So I ask these people, Chuck, as a journalist myself, I go out there and I'm started asking them, and I've gone to many parks. I said, hey, so where are you from? Oh, I'm from Tennessee. Oh, okay. What brings you to Grants Pass? Well, I was in Medford and then I heard they had something over here in Grants Pass and I go like, what? And they tell me, you know, services. They get some free food, a debit card, and they can get free food, and they get a cell phone, and they get a tent, and some freebies, basically. And I said, but are you not from here, though, at all? Nope. I'm just passing through.
How'd they get here?
How'd they get here? And that is a big mystery, Chuck. Everybody's got their theories of the buses that drop people off from, and there is buses that drop people off. There, that's a fact, because some of these guys have cases where they have to attend court in Medford. And I guess the services in Medford give them a debit card to go pay for a bus fare. They bus back to Grants Pass. They have a cell phone and they get some information, and then they get back on that bus and go back to their hearing in Medford. So I do know that. I go, why don't you just reside in Medford? And they go, well, there's more things here in Grants Pass.
More freebies here.
More freebies. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Now, we've just outlined a problem that's been ongoing and we're all familiar with. Is there a solution on the horizon? If it's drugs, that goes back to the individual. They've got to make up their mind to get off of it. We can't do that for them. I don't believe. Is there another solution on the horizon?
So, you know, meeting with our officials, our district attorney, talking to him, how come the courts aren't being more aggressive on these criminals or these people violate crimes? And it's not that anybody, I mean, even the sheriff and the city PD, they want to do, they see a violation, their job is law enforcement. And they see a violation, they want to give them a ticket. And
our law enforcement personnel are extraordinary for what we have here.
Absolutely.
Kudos to both the sheriff's department and the city police department. Both are understaffed and underfunded. All right, that's another story.
And I'm pro law enforcement. I'm a retired LEO myself.
You've got a law enforcement background.
Yeah.
In the Air Force,
so. So I'm all for them. The thing is, it's so frustrating as a peace officer when you arrest somebody and you have all your evidence and you go to court and the judge just lets them go. And you're like, wait a second, I wanted this guy to go to rehab. How come you didn't order him to go to rehab? And that gets complex, okay? So with
the jail is a revolving door. There's just limited space there. And on a daily basis, they have to make decisions on who stays and who goes.
And guess who pays that?
We do.
Yes. So the county is in the jail business. And let me tell you what, it's one of the most expensive things we have here in the county, paying for that jail. And the criminals that come here that aren't residences, okay, we're paying for them to be housed here in jail. We feed them. We give them medical attention. I was just blown away when I got a tour of the jail, which I've had before. I'm just saying, talking to the staff and the medical people, they really try to stop wasteful trips to the hospital, because when they do the intake process, they go through and make sure that they're healthy and safe enough to stay in the facility, and make sure they weed out falsifications such as, oh, my back hurts or this hurts and blah, blah, blah. And then those nurses that are there, their job is to weed that out. So we don't have wasted trips to the hospital for nothing, because every time we take a trip to the hospital, guess what? Ching, 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 ching. And then when you get these bills that you see, you're like, what is going on here? They can just rack up an open bill. So we're trying to eliminate that. We got good staff. They're trying to weed that out.
All right. Chris, let me see. Let's take just a little break here. We've done about 15 minutes so far, and I have bills to pay, so I'm going to take care of those, and we'll be right back. Welcome back, Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. It is Commissioner's Day here, and Chris Barnett drew the short straw, so we have one out of three, so we don't have a quorum here today, so this is not an official meeting. I guess sometime, well, when we have more than one, it is an official meeting. However, let's just continue. Chris, in the opening statement, several times referred to communication, both with the city council and with other agencies. Let's talk about communication between the commissioners and the library. And it appears that there's been a communications breakdown there. Can you outline that situation for us right now?
I can tell you on the library thing, it's kind of complex. I've never understood it from day one. I'm like, hey, let's try to resolve this and move forward. It's just a building lease. It has nothing to do with any personal issues whatsoever. It's simply a document, piece of paper that the county owns a building that the library is, community library is renting. And it's coming up for renewal, just like we have two other leases that we're working on right now. And those are things that come up every year, depending if they're up for a lease renewal or not. So when this all came up, it's like it started last year with the previous board and trying to meet to talk to terms on what they would like to do and what the county can do for them. It's simply part of any lease negotiation. I mean, you've been a tenant. I've been a tenant. It's like, okay, well, I never wanted to upset the landlord, so I always came in with the good gracious and said, hey, you know, I'd like to continue staying here, but what are your terms and what would you like? And I think that's where we all need to talk and what direction the library wants to go and how long they want to stay there and stuff like that. That's my impression of it is, hey, let's talk and let's get to the table. I can't speak for the other commissioners who are not here, but I know that everybody's heart is in the right place. It's nothing personal. It's been portrayed out there. And frankly, it's like a broken record played over and over again. I'm like, there's things all the time. We do renewals on things for subscriptions and stuff all the time as a board. So it's just a standard business.
All right. Let's continue with that just a moment, but I do want to make one statement here. Please hold your calls until after the top of the hour news, and then we'll take those gladly. But let's continue here. You're going to keep saying talk. Why aren't we talking? Are talks scheduled? Have talks transpired?
Yeah, we had an initial meeting. They have an attorney, so things change when they get attorneys involved. Let's just put it that way. And I'm not at liberty to discuss some of those conversations, but our legal counsel, Wally Hicks, has talked to their legal counsel, Mark Bartholomew, I believe it is. And they're trying to work something out where we can all meet. But every time it seems like there's a schedule, there's conflicts with their board. They have a board of five, I believe, and we're a board of three, and trying to sync schedules has been very difficult, and that has been the way that everybody wants to do things from what I understand. I know our board wants to meet as three. They don't want to meet individually. They don't want to have a representative. They want to meet as a board. And then the board requested before us has requested to meet with their board, which is a board of five. So, and that's what I hope that can still happen is to meet with the board of five, with the board of three. And that's why you do leases 1 year in advance. And this is within the 1 year window because their lease doesn't expire till the end of the year, Chuck. So there's ample time there. Nothing's going on. There's no eviction, nothing like that. Simply, they are just going to meet with the board and hopefully there can be some fruitful conversations on how to go forward and what direction are they going and go from there.
Last month we had, Kate Lasky and the president of the board right here saying that they're willing to talk.
Yeah, we are too.
You guys are willing to talk.
Yeah.
So I understand meetings had been scheduled at that point. I want to say March 14th was one of those days. Nothing ever happened.
And some of the board members could not make it. So on both sides. Mm-hmm. So every time it seems like, well, can they not meet as a full board? They can only have two or... Same with us. Hey, our schedules are different. They are. Everybody's schedule. It's a scheduling conflict indeed. But hopefully we can resolve that and get a meeting of the minds. We had one fruitful conversation. It hasn't been like we'd had none. We had a good conversation. And I think Ms. Lasky, she was a spokesman at that time. I understand that she's just the director. She's not the board. So, having the director was there was nice. And we left that conversation and that meeting with hopes of, hey, something fruitful will come down the road. But it doesn't happen to happen today. Everybody's trying to meet, but that's why you do these negotiations 1 year in advance. It's not like we're in the last month and things are happening. This isn't December. This is only March still.
All right. It appears it's turned contentious, and when lawyers get involved, that's always a situation. Do we need to throw a white flag somewhere and get people talking or find out what is? Does the board have a particular goal in mind for that library building?
Well, I can tell you it's been a very vocal through our attorney to their attorney, and I'm not going to talk about their privilege information between the two, but there is that building at 200 Northwest C Street is a county-owned building that has been from years past before me. It's been known that that building is going to become another department of the county. It's just a matter of when. I don't know if you know, you may know this or not. It's public. You can go type it in and look for it. But Dimmock Campus, the old Josephine County Hospital, Memorial Hospital up there on A Street.
Right.
And Dimmock, that is for sale. And that houses our Josephine County Public Health Department and our planning department as well on the other side. And building and planning are over there. So when I came aboard, this was last year when I started hearing these going to meetings and hearing things, that what happens if somebody buys a Dimmock and A Street property? It is for sale, and there's going to be an opportunity for somebody to develop that because the county can't use it. They're not willing to spend the money to develop it. So where do we house those huge departments? And the conversation's been come up prior to me that 200 Northwest A Street or C Street was a potential location of a site. We have other buildings that we can possibly move things to as well. So it's like, what makes the most sense? And that one came up. It's not definitive, so people will probably hear this and roll with it. And it's like, don't roll with it. It's just a matter of fact that what happens if that gets under contract on Andemic? Okay, somebody wants to buy that. What do we do then? So I think that when these lease agreements were made with the community library, which is its own private entity, not under the county, they have done a great job raising lots of money for their potential new library that they want to build downtown. I've seen the plans. Ms. Lasky was at City Council showing off those plans to the public.
You should know better. You just lifted the cough button over there, and you know about that.
Well, you know what? Normally it's red and it's white. Okay, so sorry about that, Jack.
Like you've never been in the studio.
I know. I've never been on this side as much. Yeah. But no, so that came up where I lost my train of thought, Chuck. We were talking about that particular location, and then I was going to
the library.
Yeah. So, oh, the library's done a fabulous job raising money and building a new location of a library. I commend them with the money that they've been raising, and they get taxes as well in the taxing district, and they're a nonprofit, so they get a lot of donations and subscribers as well, which I commend them on. They're doing a fabulous job, and if their goal goes the way it is, they don't want to be at 200 Northwest C Street. It's too small for them.
Frankly, that new library is probably 5 years away from occupancy.
Well, and that's the thing. I keep hearing 2027, and that is just, you know, 2 years away, but that's probably just a groundbreaking phase of it.
They'll never be in by, if they started today, they wouldn't be in by that time.
Exactly. But here's the thing. So they're at a current location, and how long is that going to be sustainable? That's where the conversations are going to have to come up, Chuck. They just have to be candid, real conversations.
All right. That being said, what's the condition of the library building as it stands right now? I understand the roof is in need of repair. What else needs to be done?
The HVAC is near its end of its life, per our facilities director. I think the total, and you can go back to the January 6th meeting. I think we had the facilities and our property manager talk about it. I think the total costs were anywhere from $130 to $150 on those repairs for a roof and an HVAC system that is due for that building over there. I have been over to that building, and I have to tell you, the library keeps nice and clean, and it looks like my county library when I was a kid, because I used to go in there as a kid. So I went in there and I was browsing around, and I was assessing the roof situation and see, but I didn't see any active leaks at the time.
All right. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. Our guest today is County Commissioner Chris Barnett. We're going to continue with that. But first of all, news is coming up next right here on KAJO Grants Pass, Oregon. So please stay tuned. We'll take your phone calls after the top of the hour news.
It's the investment of...
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Number to call is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live, and you may ask our guest any question or make a comment right here on KAJO Radio. Once again, our guest today from the Josephine County Board of Commissioners is Vice Chair Chris Barnett. We've been talking about the library a little bit and some of the things we're talking about, county space that is going to be needed for some of the departments should that Demick property sell. We're talking about cost for repairs, those sorts of things. And that brings up the bottom line, and that's budget. And you're in a budget situation right now, are you not?
Yeah, Chuck. So right now, January, we started going into budget talks. And in June, you know, it'll be finalized. And so right now, our energies are focused on the budget. I mean, there is a lot of stuff going on when you have a budget that you don't know the uncertainty of in the future. You always try to predict next year and try to figure out, are we going to have enough money to fund things? And being a business owner and being in government myself, I've seen I've seen these things in place. And it's just kind of like the military, Chuck. When I was in the Air Force, now in the auxiliary, is there's a budget. Like I'm on a board right now, and we have a $170 million budget that we've got to work with. And then you try to figure out how many planes you can buy and maintain and the cost of maintaining those planes. And then you got your labor force. Labor is 80% of our cost, and the county is labor. So 80% labor and the rest goes to other things. And you learn all these things by going to these budget meetings. We're not the budget experts. So I just want to let you know, we are just advisors to make sure that the government is being good stewards of the taxpayers' money. And that's where it gets missed, because, you know, when you're on the other side, or hey, I want my newest and greatest thing. Let's say I'm just going to use a jet, for example. Of course, we want the shiny new toy. But do we need the shiny new toy right now? And those are conversations that have to come up, going, hey, can we get some more life out of those planes? I mean, look at the planes we have at Kingsley Field and the Air Guard. I mean, those things are 1970s, okay? And they're still flying today because we maintain them. And it gets more expensive every year, and then eventually you got to replace that item. But fraud, waste, and abuse, that was the big topic that always was instilled in me in the government. Fraud, waste, and abuse. And now in the county, it's no different. The city, it's no different. When you're using taxpayer dollars, you got to be the best stewards for them. So us as elected officials are supposed to be the oversight of making sure our departments spend their money wisely and not frivolously. And there's a lot of things that, if I gave you $1,000 right now, Chuck, I go, hey, Chuck, I want you to beautify this room right here. Here's $1,000.
Here's $1,000. I could buy a plant.
And you could buy a plant. And you and then I said, well, gosh, that's good, Chuck. But why did you buy coffee? You don't need coffee for this room. Okay. But those are the type of things that you kind of go, why did you buy the coffee instead of buying the plant? And then you have to justify why you bought the coffee and not the plant. And those checks and balances need to be in place, because if we didn't have that oversight, we'd have wasteful spending everywhere. And that does happen today. Don't say it doesn't happen. It does. And we're finding out some things. We have a budget officer in place right now that is going around to all the departments, doing some audits and things like that to find out where these accountability issues are.
So you have your own own version of Mr. Musk? Yes.
Own version of what?
Fellow by the name of Musk.
Oh, we're not doing Doge. No, we're not. We're not doing Doge. But you know what? Every organization's got to have efficiency, to the private sector, to the government sector. I mean, look at big oil companies that were here and no longer here. They had to budget or they closed their doors, Chuck. And that's the bottom line. The county can't afford to shut its doors down. We have services that the public depends on. But the public says, hey, we're only giving you so much money, Chris. So be a good steward of that money. Do the best job possible. Stretch it out as you can. And it is efficiency. So every government should have efficiency in place. And those things are being tighter. I know Elon Musk is a big topic because he's with Doge at the federal level. But there are some things that has been brought to the public's attention where it's like, why are we funding those programs when they don't help the American people here? So I think that because there hasn't been that oversight, now it's a topic. And it's no different. That's been around for years, fraud, waste, and abuse. It just is being reminded now more today.
Josephine County's budget, as we understand it, faces declining revenues in spite of the fact that my taxes go up at least 3% every year.
Because they can, yeah.
Because that's the max. But you can't increase that. We've got a lot of money coming in from out of the, from state level government and the federal government. What do the budget projections look like at this point? Are we cutting services? Are we expanding services? What can we expect here? And we know that you're still in the process.
Well, yeah, we're still in the process. And, of course, we like to maintain business as usual. Of course, anybody. The station wants to maintain business as usual. But there are things outside your control that may come down. Could be energy hikes. Could be utility hikes. Could be contracts that you have with outfits that doubled their cost to maintain a jail, for instance. For example, I'm just saying there's a lot of outside variables that keep coming up that, hey, we only paid $1.99. How come we're paying $3.99 now? What happened? Cost of living, Chris. Cost of living. Everything went up. So that 3% that we charge the taxpayers every year, doesn't keep up with inflation. And that's the problem, is inflation keeps superseding that. So every time we try to budget and say 3% will take care of it, that's why you have the 3%.
Yeah, 3% won't get close these days.
It's just not paying for the cost of goods and services that cost 6%. Okay, let's just put that for example. So it's just like, where do you cut? Where do you go, Chuck? So when you're the owner of a company or a CEO and you're going through going, how do we run this more efficiency? We love our employees. We want to keep our employees. But your employees want more, let's just say, for instance, and you want to give them more. And so you do. And then you're going, uh-oh. How am I going to afford to pay that continuing program that I love to give my employees?
And legally, you might have to have a balanced budget at the end of the fiscal year.
You have to have a balanced budget. So our budget officer is doing a great job finding these things to make sure we're going to stay afloat and we're within the legal boundaries, because there is fraud. If you find it, you got to make sure that that you can show where that money was spent and why. I mean, we get grants, we get federal funding, we get state funding, and I'm not no guru, so I disclose that already. But I'm hearing all this stuff, and I'm like, okay, what happens if you're in violation of spending federal dollars the wrong way? What happens then? Uh-oh, nobody wants to talk about that.
Those dollars go away.
Yeah, those dollars can go away, and there can be some penalties. Pay it back. So check this out. You pay for something. You bought something you thought was within the guidelines. And then all of a sudden, you got to pay back the federal government. It's a real thing.
All right. Chris, you've mentioned several times fraud within the context of talking about what's going on in the county. Do we have any instances of fraud right now? Any suspicions of fraud?
I can't talk about any of that stuff. I'm not the person doing these audits and doing these things. So at this time, there is nothing like that going on. I just threw that as a common term of fraud, waste, and abuse is what every entity in the government should be looking for to make sure that we are spending the taxpayer dollars effectively. And that is it. There's nothing, no cause for alarm, nothing like that. We're strictly going through a budget season, but you learn a lot, Chuck, and probably more than you need to know, because technically you don't have nothing to do with some of these things.
All right. There's a budget committee.
Correct.
And are those meetings public?
Yes.
Okay. And do we have a next date on those? I don't have a calendar here.
No, I don't. I don't have that right now. We have a lot of new committees that are being formed right now, and of course, commissioners on some of those boards as well. So, but those will be coming up in the future. We'll start getting into that season, and we're going to be having a meeting on that here relatively soon just for a discussion.
I'm curious about public input and suggestions.
Yeah. Well, and those come up. We have our weekly business sessions, Chuck. So whenever any topic that's at hand that the public sees at a meeting, or they have you go to the WBS, you watch them online, and or Sam does, and you can hear that people come up with various questions and topics. And so that's an opportunity and forum for people to talk about things that are important to them. We jot them down and we address them. So that is something that any public person can go, and you can talk about the stars if you want to. How does that affect Josephine County? I don't know, but we can try to find out if that's within our jurisdiction of space.
Yeah, well, it would be tough to make a cognizant argument there in the 3 minutes that are allotted during that time. Is there an opportunity to sit down with the budget committee or to testify in front of the budget committee or approach a commissioner outside of that particular forum?
Yeah, those forums they're new to me, Chuck. So this is all new to me, so I don't know how it goes. And next year I can answer those questions a lot better for you. But for this first year, I'm learning as I go.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll continue to learn and ask some more questions when we come back. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO.
Come up in a...
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress, ladies and gentlemen. Still time for your phone calls. If you have a question or comment for Chris Barnett, County Commissioner here in the studio, 541-472-1270 is the number to call. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. And I know that, Chris, you've got a couple of things you want to get to. One other thing that I just want to get to first, and that's, well, as a matter of fact, we're being interrupted by a phone call. Would you imagine that? Listen, go ahead. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for our guest today?
Yes, I have a comment about all the individuals that have drug problems. This was caused by our drug laws from the past administration and this, you know, who made the measures where it's legal. And it's going to be some severe future consequences of this and lawsuits and stuff. If anyone is to blame, it's our governor.
Okay. All right, sir.
Yep.
Is that everything you needed to transfer?
That's the main thing. And thank you, Chris Barnett. You do an excellent job.
I appreciate you calling in. And yes, a drug problem, we need to get a handle on it. And you're right, it starts at the top. So thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. I wanted to go one particular area that we're talking about because we have, quite frankly, a great jail. That is, what, about half capacity just because of funding? And as long as I've known about this jail, it's not been full. Is there any way to increase that situation? I know the Sheriff Daniel went out and campaigned and got some steady funding coming in for the jail that allowed him to put patrols back out. What is that situation, Chris, right now? I know as a law enforcement person, you're probably aware of that or at least concerned with it.
Yeah, we're concerned. Matter of fact, Sheriff Daniel and I have a meeting that we're trying to solidify for this week, actually. So I'm going to go through the jail with him, and we're going to talk about some of those issues. And so it's kind of a little premature you asked me because I already had it on the radar, because we definitely need to find out why we're not as full as we could be, right? That's
right.
What you're saying.
We built this big jail, and we can only use half of it.
Well, and I'm going to find out some of those reasons meeting with Sheriff Daniel, because money seems to be the biggest culprit of everything that runs around here. And if you don't have the money to fund certain things, can we afford to be full? Can we afford to be full? And that's the thing is, you know, you hear this phrase, catch and release, because every time we have somebody in jail that much longer, it's just an open checkbook to continue to have them housed.
Yeah, on a daily basis here, you'll hear our news reports that are usually filled with lots of people who have been incarcerated and released, and it's the 12th time in the year that they've been incarcerated and released.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the most frustrating thing as a law enforcement person is, you know, they're doing the crime. You arrest the same individual over and over and over and over. Fred, you're out again. Why am I picking you up for the same thing?
That's frustrating for the law enforcement.
It is so frustrating. And then you take them to jail, and then they have their court date, and then they get released again. And then you have to catch them again and put them back in the system. And our laws, this all starts with Oregon laws and certain things that affect our jurisdictions. And when those come down, you're like, well, wait a second, he committed a crime, but he didn't have enough drugs on him to convict him. And it's like, really? Who said that? Well, look at the statute. You know what I mean? So with these things, and the criminals are smart. They are finding out the ways where they can legally just get by and know that when it comes down to being released that, hey, you know, I can commit the crime again and know it's catch and release. It's just like if you steal something from a store, if it's under a certain amount on some situations, the credit card companies and stuff, they won't prosecute.
Cite and release.
Oh, it is horrible. When you have all the evidence in front of you, it's a crime. If you do the crime, you do the time. I don't care if it's stealing a candy bar from the store. Stealing is stealing. And now we're getting to a society where it's like, oh, it's okay to steal to a certain amount. They won't do nothing.
Yeah. Well, I can go in overnight, get a shower and a couple of meals, and then I'm free again.
Bingo. Yeah, it's frustrating. Trust me. It is. Sorry, I was brought up with don't steal unless you have the money to pay for it, you know, and the old school way. And the law enforcement officers are strictly doing that. They're going, hey, you broke the law, but I got my hands tied or they don't want to prosecute. There's a whole bunch of reasons why law enforcement can't do what they want to do.
All right, Chris, what else is the Board of Commissioners dealing with these days? We've asked several questions today, but
yeah.
What situations are in front of the board right now that as a board you're dealing with?
Well, you know, we are, as a board, we're a very active board. I have to tell you, Ron Smith and Andreas Black and myself, we're all individuals, but we're working as a team. It's really cool to see, the synergy happening. And, you know, we're recognizing people in our county. We're going out to our departments. We're making sure the taxpayers know that these departments work for you. And so we're doing a lot of job of transparency, doing more PR, press releases and active in the community type of scenarios. And we're honoring our veterans. That was one thing that I promised on my campaign. We'd honor our veterans more. We see the signs on the freeway. So we just got a veterans camping program. I think you saw that last week. Up to three nights if you're a service-disabled veteran. Three free nights camping, which means a yurt, tent, RV space, whatever, for three nights at any of our county parks. So in addition, you also have the free parks pass that you can go in person to get. So that is something we're doing to acknowledge our veterans in the county. The fair has been very active. We're trying to really let people know we have a gem of a Josephine County Fairgrounds here, and we got some cool acts. Of course, KJO, KRRM, and KLDR are part of that. We're bringing Rodney Atkins and Ned Lido performing on Thursday, July 31st. We've got cool stuff, so the fair, you want to check it out this year. We're doing proclamations, and I think this week we're going to recognize the Rogue Valley Rough Stock Days. That's happening April 5th through April 12th. And then following week, we're going to do the upcoming proclamation for the National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week, which is April 13th through the 19th. So we're recognizing agencies and people that do good things in the community with these proclamations. Lighting and landscaping, we're trying to take care of our buildings and with what we are handed with budget. And we're trying to make the taxpayer, we're letting the taxpayers know that we're being good stewards of their money. The courthouse, if you've been by there lately, you'll see we have lights at night now. It's also good for security measures. So we did that. Our cameras can really pick up activity at night now a lot better. Also doing a lot of landscape projects. You'll see our facilities crew out there doing beautification. These are the taxpayer buildings, and we want the taxpayers to know that, yeah, we may be limited on money, but we're doing the best job we can to take care of that building for them. So we want them to appreciate that. We're getting a lot of good feedback on that. Recognitions, our sheriff's departments, our park watch, our community organizations that are doing good things in the community, we are letting them know that we appreciate them. We had a near-death experience with one of our employees. He had a heart attack on duty, and the sheriff's department, he happened to be working out there. He was working with facilities, and they used the AED machine on him right away, jumped into action, and shocked him back to life, basically. He had a massive heart attack, and he came to the WBS a couple weeks ago. He recognized those four sheriff department employees for their outstanding duty for saving a man's life, who happened to be one of our own. So that was awesome. And Park Watch, we recognize them. We've got some retirements, so I'm attending as many retirements as I can and meeting the new people as well, because when you're in big organizations, you always have turnover. You have people retiring, you have people getting hired. So we're doing a great job as a board recognizing those people and letting them know that the county commissioners are there for them.
All right.
That was a lot. I got more, but that was a lot.
Well, I tell you what, you've got about 3 minutes before I cut you off and maybe ask one final question.
Okay. I just want to let the community know that, hey, you know, we've only been at it for a short time, going in our third month here, but myself and the Board of County Commissioners are doing a tremendous job, being very active. There's a lot of things that have been handed to us that we have to deal with, and those things that are handed to us, we have to deal with them as a board. And you know, there's a lot of things that come up that we're learning about, but I'm telling you, I'm really proud of the job that everybody's doing, taking their job seriously, getting out to do the best job they can for the taxpayers that elected them in, including myself. We made promises, and we're going to keep those promises, and it's so good to be part of a county that you live, work, and play in, and you get to see these people out in your community, and it's just a good touchy-feely to go that, you know what, government's doing something. And just give us time. Nothing's perfect. Please, nothing's perfect. But somebody's got to make those decisions, and we feel we're doing the best job we can.
Okay, a couple of quick questions here. First of all, we know they've got a business session coming up on Friday morning, and last Friday and this coming Friday for the commissioner's business sessions. Why the change? Is it a schedule, just a scheduling situation? Is this something we can expect in the future?
It was a trial basis, so we did it for a few weeks, and we're going to see if this works a little better for the public. It works better for the departments getting their issues at hand so we can get proper notice and scheduling as well. So there's a process in there, and this is a trial basis, but if it works out to be more efficient, it's all about efficiency, then this could be the norm down the road. But it's subject to change. We're playing around with the days to see if this works or it doesn't work. And it may change again. I think there's another proposal or general discussion I think we had of, hey, we'll try this for a couple of weeks, and if we don't like it, we'll put it back. And then if that doesn't work, maybe we can try these days. So we're playing around with it, because what has happened in the past is these days have been set in stone, but doesn't make the best possible workflow sense. And we're finding out with some suggestions that maybe we can change it up to make it more efficient. And that's what we're trying to do.
In the past, the commission, when I first became familiar with these commissions, it was always in the daytime. Then, because they had a meeting weekly, they chose to do one in the evening, and that has since gone away. Will that happen again? Is that in discussion?
It's been talked, but with recordings and the things that we have now with technology, they played around with the nightly meetings, and it turns out that they were low. They were attended very low, too. And people after work, they want to go home. They want to relax. Last thing they want to do on some people is go to a meeting. And now with
that may be the time that only some of them could go.
And you got to please the masses. So that's one thing is you always look at, we got 88,000 people in the county. What do the majority want? And we do take input on that. Some people say they love the times that we have them already during the day in the mornings. And of course, there's going to be people that would love it at night. But the good news is whether you attend it in person or not, you can always watch them online and replay those at any time. So technology has done a great favor there, is you can go to our website, josephinecounty.gov, and the televised sessions, you do it, I do it. You can go back and watch a recap. I do that with the city a lot as well.
Speaking as from the newsroom of KAJO Radio, we'd like to see the agendas out a little quicker.
Okay. Yeah, and that is something the staff is working on, and everybody's trying to find their mold what works. So things are being changed a little bit to see if this could be better efficient of the time and the notices, and that is all input that we love to hear. So thank you for that, Chuck. Appreciate that.
All right. Commissioner, thank you very much for your time this morning. We appreciate your enthusiasm, certainly here on KAJO Radio. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. I'm Chuck Benson reporting.